Good morning to all of our dedicated listeners and learners. We feel truly privileged to be able to provide a number of different shiurim, lectures, learning experiences to benefit men, women, children of all ages, all backgrounds, all levels of affiliation. We have the unique opportunity to teach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah to bring out the relevant and contemporary messages which shape and alter our everyday lives. But in order to continue to do this, we need your help. We need your support. We are running a very special raffle. Only 365 tickets to be sold with a grand prize of $15,000 or a brand new car. If you are a member of the shul, a dedicated learner or a listener of the Institute for Jewish Continuity, the IJC, if you are someone who frequents our website or our podcast, here is your opportunity to partner with us to continue in the proliferation of our shiurim, our lectures, and our beautiful messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please visit www.suburbanorthodox.org. Click on the banner that says raffle and purchase your tickets today. Thank you so much for partnering with us. Thank you so much for being a part of our beautiful learning revolution. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to grow together. And Amir Tashem, may we be zocha to do so for many years to come.
So also, I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha. So also, we know that in this week's parasha, parasha's Balak. So Balak, the king of Moab, hires the Gentile prophet to go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael. Is there a chumash in here by any chance? It's okay if it's not the... Mesh, is that a chumash?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. So Balak hires, thank you. Balak hires Bilam to go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael. So of course we know in an incredible twist of circumstances... So every single time Bilam tries to go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael, not only does it not work, but he ends up uttering some of the most beautiful phrases. But I want to point out something that I think is incredibly intriguing. So there's a certain theme that comes up twice in the course of Bilam's brachas, or Bilam's kala/brachas. So the first time is in Perek Chaf Dalit, Pasuk Beis, chapter 24, verse 2. So the pasuk says, "Vayisa Bilam es Enov." So Bilam lifted his eyes, "Vayar es Yisrael shochin leshvatav," and he sees literally Klal Yisrael, literally dwelling shochin leshvatav, dwelling according to their tribes. "Vatihi alav ruach Elokim." So we'll say, so what does this mean that he sees them? Where he sees them dwelling according to their tribes? So Rashi says over here, "Ra kol shevet v'shevet ra she'in pischeim michuvanim ze k'neged ze." You saw that when they camped, so the opening of their tents did not open towards one another. Why? No one should look inside the tent of the other. So he saw that the way they arranged their tents, no two entrances were opposite each other. No one should look into the other's tent. So we'll say, so that's fascinating. Then if you look a few psukim later, what does the pasuk say? Again, Bilam says, which perhaps is his most well-known praise, Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkinosech Yisrael. How goodly are your tents, Yaakov. Rashi HaKadosh says over here in his parish, Matovu ohalecha, al shera pischein she'en michuvanim ze mul ze. Once again, what is he praising? That he saw ultimately again that the entranceways of their tents did not open up one across from the other. Very intriguing. That what catches the attention of Bilam, not once, but twice, is the idea that the entranceway of their tents do not line up to another. That one person should not look into his, fellow. So why is this? It's just intriguing. You know, I mean, a little bit embarrassed. The first time, we're learning the parasha for a couple of years, first time this ever dawned on me. Why is this, the piece comes up twice in the course of two psukim? What is it exactly that ultimately is catching Bilam's attention? So the Lubavitch Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in his Lekutei Sichos, he writes the following. He says, "Gam bisha matzi bedira sarai, ohel alav lahakbid al klali hatsnius b'miluam." So the Rebbe says very beautifully, and I have to thank Rabbi Ziffer for giving me the Dvar Malchus every week so I was able to see this. So the Rebbe says very beautifully that what Bilam was pointing out is that sometimes when people are in a temporary situation, so sometimes ultimately again they become a bit lax in the laws of tznius. So even though again we were a tent dwellers, right? We were the original Bedouin, right? We were going ahead and moving around. So you would think with the placement of a tent, people are not so makbid how they set up their tents. Okay, it's the most center or not. No, you see, Klal Yisrael was makbid on being so makbid on modesty. They were careful with modesty, even in their tent cities. Even in their tent cities. That's the message that Bilam was so taking. And by the way, remember, understand, the modesty was an incredible and overwhelming thing for Bilam. Because remember, again, I'm both saying, what's Bilam's parting shot? Bilam, after he realizes that he can't curse Klal Yisrael, what does he do? Bilam is wildly successful with one thing. What's his most incredible piece of advice that he gives Balak? Immorality. Remember, again, the end of the parasha is the entire episode with the immorality between the Jews and the daughters of Midian. Where did that idea come from? That idea came from Bilam. Bilam says to Balak, listen, I can't curse them, but I can tell you that their Achilles heel is immorality. That lets his whole... So Bilam sees that even in the desert, even when it's an Oel Arai, even ultimately, again, when it's a tent city, even when they're right, even when they're not established in their own land, they're still makbid on the laws of tznius. But perhaps he could suggest something else. That what the interesting Lashon of Rashi over here, in both places, is this incredible Lashon, ultimately, again, Shelo yotzitz lesoch Oel Chaveiro. You shouldn't look into your friend's tents. Okay, the Mefarshim understand to be the laws of modesty, but perhaps it's a different yisod. What Bilam saw was the strength of Klal Yisrael was that we don't gauge success by looking into the tent of our friends. See, I will say, sometimes in life, it is tempting to engage in what we call relative success. What's relative success? That I compare my success, ultimately again, to someone else. And I will say, we do this in a variety of different ways. Sometimes we do it being the tov, being l'ra. Let's start with l'ra, right? So what happens? I see my friend, and you know what? That guy is mamish, such a menuvel, mishuket, mituav, and isvarf, tamei, all these things. And I say to myself, wow, I am mamish like a tzaddik compared to that guy, right? I mean, look at that guy. He promises, probably, Rosh Hashanah is going to have to invent a new level of Gehenna for someone like that. Me, I am doing so well compared to that guy. I don't even have to try all that hard. I just have to do half, refrain from doing half of the stuff that he does, and look how wonderful I am. And it works the opposite way as well. Sometimes we see people who we really admire, and we say to ourselves, you know what? I'm never going to be like that person. I'm just never going to be like that guy. My lifestyle is not conducive to it. I'm not that kind of person. I don't have the willpower. My family's not like that. My friends are not like that. My community, whatever it is. And what does Bilam say? The godless of Klal Yisrael will say is that we never engage in the process of relative greatness. Matovu ohalecha Yisrael. You have your tent and I have my tent. Don't look into my tent. And I won't look into your tent. My tent is always open to you. Hopefully your tent is always open to me. That's not it. It's saying in the pursuit of personal greatness, we never compare ourselves to another. In the pursuit of personal greatness, we look at ourselves, we look at our abilities, we look at our circumstances, and we try to maximize what we each have in our own tent. We never have to measure ourselves up against another. We can never, chas v'shalom, rest on our laurels because they say, oh, I'm so much better compared to that person. Nor should we ever become defeated or deflated because we feel we will not reach the level that we see someone else has reached. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. Bilam sees Yisrael shochein lishvatav. She'ein pischein, what's the lashon? She'ein pischein mechuvanam zeh keneged zeh. My entrance way is not connected your entrance way. Shalom yotzitz l'soch al chaver. As we learn in Gan Emunah every single morning, each of us is placed in this world for a particular shlichus. We're all here for a purpose, and it's not to take up space. We're all here for some sacred and divine, incredible mission to accomplish something beautiful. Rabosai, but here's the real yesod. For each of us, it's dramatically different. Your mission is not my mission. My mission is not your mission. Your tent is not my tent. My tent is not your tent. We spend so much time in life comparing ourselves to others and measuring ourselves up against others. The amazing part is that Bilam was able to see the strength that we have, even though sometimes we can't see it. We should never live lives of relative holiness. We should never live lives of relative accomplishment. We should never live our lives peering into the tent of the other and trying to compare ourselves to the other. Instead, we should focus on the tent we have, focus on maximizing the tent we have, and focus ultimately on living up to our potential. Shabbos.